It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, October 1st, 2021. We have a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds 5 to 10 knots, rising to 10 to 15 in the afternoon, wind waves from the north 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 10 feet at 12 seconds. And today we're going to be talking more about cargo. This is going to be, we're going to be talking about something that's called intermodal cargo, between modes of transportation. So a container ship comes into a port and it unloads its cargo onto trains and trucks that take it to its ultimate destination for distribution. So that's that kind of a facility that can handle both ships and trains and trucks is called an intermodal facility. But today we're going to be talking about the piece on land that is just as important a part of the supply chain as the ships are, and how there are, in addition to being problems with container shipping and problems in ports in places like China, there are now also problems with the on-land portion of that, like how long a cargo waits in port and how long before it gets on a train and or a truck, and are there trains and trucks available right now because of the pandemic and other issues. So we'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 3 inbounders, we have 4 in our Astoria anchorages, and we have 6 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. One ship I just want to talk about briefly is the Pride of America. She's that cruise ship that spent the summer at the Port of Astoria. Big ship, couldn't miss her. She was here being stored during the pandemic, and she's a very interesting vessel in that she is one of the very few American-built, American-owned, and American-crewed cruise ships. So she is a Jones Act compliant vessel. She usually works in Hawaii, and during the pandemic, she was being stored at the Port of Astoria just for this summer. So she has been up. She's not there at the Port of Astoria right now. She's been up at the Port of Portland, probably getting repairs and maintenance, looking forward to the time when she can go back into service. So her time at the Port of Astoria is apparently over, and she's going to be heading downriver and out to sea today. She'll be leaving the shipyard at Swan Island at about 6:30 this morning, and she will head downriver and probably pass Astoria outbound around 12:30 p.m. So when you see a big cruise ship going by around midday today outbound, that's the Pride of America, and she's heading back to wherever it is that she's going next. I'm not sure if she's actually heading to Hawaii, what her destination is, but she eventually will they certainly hope will be back in service in the Hawaiian Islands, taking people between ports there. Today, we're going to continue our talk about cargo and container ships and all those things that we hope to get from container ships that bring us our 90% of everything. But I wanted to talk today a little bit about the land-based side of that supply chain. So we all rely on a supply chain, a chain of commerce, that brings us goods from, say, a container is put on a ship in China, and it makes its way across the ocean to us here to a port in the U.S. like Los Angeles or even the Port of Portland. And that cargo is put onto a land-based mode of transportation, which is just as important as the sea-based part of it. So it's actually a very well-orchestrated dance that involves computers and a lot of planning. So the containers are loaded on the ship in a certain order, and then they are unloaded in a certain order. And so the ships and the trains that are waiting for these containers also have their logistics set up so that the right truck is lined up at the right time to receive the right container, the right rail car going to the right place receives the container that to take it to its ultimate destination. It's all very interesting. It's all it all works very well, but right now it's not working so well, mainly because there are just tie-ups related to the pandemic everywhere, and some of those are affecting our land-based trucking and also train distribution of the cargo that comes off these ships. So I'm going to share an article with you from Bloomberg News. I found this on the gcaptain.com website, and I'm going to read it to you. To understand why more than 100 container ships are waiting to enter U.S. ports from Southern California to Savannah, Georgia, it helps to keep tabs on the congestion that's building at another key junction of freight transportation, and that's rail yards. The so-called dwell time, as they call it, for containers at 11 major railroad depots reached an average of 9.8 days this month, according to a tally of its own boxes maintained by Hapag-Lloyd AG, the world's fifth largest container carrier. And you see Hapag-Lloyd on the sides of containers on semi-trucks when you're driving on I-5, and you also see them on ships quite often. So they're a big world shipper. That's up from 6.7 days dwell time in May and 5.9 in February. So its containers are waiting longer to get on trains when they do get into port. So in addition to the cargo being delayed, leaving China for various reasons, and just taking longer to get to the U.S., once it gets here, the ship may have to wait before it can unload. And then when it does unload, the cargo waits even longer before it gets onto a train. In this case, we're talking about trains, but also trucks. So leading the pack is Los Angeles, California, where containers wait an average of almost 16 days before being picked up. The delays are also surging in Charleston, South Carolina, and Detroit. The numbers show some improvements in Long Beach, California, and in Kansas City. In its emailed note this week, Hapag-Lloyd said, port officials are extending operating hours to nights and weekends to ease pileups in intermodal lots jammed with both full and empty containers. That word intermodal refers to between modes of transportation. So a ship comes in, unloads onto a train or a truck. That's intermodal transportation, where it goes from a truck onto some other kind of transportation when it gets on land. The delays through the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach in particular, it said, quote, are expected to continue for the remainder of the year. On top of the strong demand for imports, a big part of the problem is a shortage of truck drivers to collect and drop off the 20 and 40 foot steel boxes, which are the container boxes that you see on ships and on semis and on trains. As executives of packaged goods giant General Mills Incorporated pointed out during an earnings call on Wednesday. So this is from Jonathan Newdy. He is the group president of North America Retail at General Mills, big cereal purveyor. So we have literally hundreds of disruptions, this is a quote from him, in our supply chain, and it really changes on a daily and weekly basis. The bulk of our discussion right now with retailers is really around service and making sure that we can ship the product that our consumers are ultimately looking for. So, wow. I guess we'll just have to keep tabs on this and see what actually happens. I certainly hope that with time and the easing of the pandemic, that some of this goes back to normal. But right now, I think we should just be prepared if there are the things that we are looking for end up not being in the stores as quickly as we would like them. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.